Hey, it's Kristen.
Hey, it's Eva. We have a little announcement and a request. Way back when Kristen told me she had breast cancer, I had a newborn baby. I had just been laid off from a job that I loved, and I was just getting started building a new business, creating podcasts. My mission at work has always been to help tell patient stories of all kinds, and I do that to help others be prepared, be less afraid, and be more informed. But in my past work, I had never spent any time writing or thinking about breast cancer except for the reconstruction part. And so I asked Kristen if she might be willing to tell her story on a podcast. And I also thought it might make it easier to keep the people who care about her in the loop without her having to repeat herself all the time. I wanted to help her stay connected to those people through something that I knew would be very difficult. I didn't know how difficult, but I knew it was going to be rough.
It was super helpful because repeating it, I relive the pain every single time. So thank you for thinking about that, Eva. We had no idea where this would lead, but we found out very quickly that women all over the world were listening to the story and that it was helping. And now it's become our mission to help women get through the shock of breast cancer diagnosis and treatment and help inform their family about what they're going through so they can help them too.
And while it makes us both really uncomfortable to ask, we have reached the point with this podcast where if we're going to continue telling this story and helping others, we need your help. All podcasts, including this one, require resources to make the show happen. And we have an amazing team of people who you don't know who are here producing the show, editing it, and getting it out the door every week. And there are costs involved and it takes time.
The editing is super important because I say, you know, and like so many more times than y'all ever hear. We're asking you today, if you believe in what we're doing and have the means to support the show, there are three simple ways you can do that. One is to simply use the links we post in the show notes. If you're buying something mentioned on the show, we receive a few dollars every time someone uses those links. And I promise we'll never talk about anything we haven't actually used and really love. One of my pet peeves, I have actually bought things from links on other stores that are not quality or like I never got them in the mail. So I go through and I vet every single one. I've gone and sought these people out. They didn't come to us.
Another way to help out is to donate directly. And there's a PayPal link in the show website at breastcancerstoriespodcast.com/donate.
You can make a one-time donation or you can set up a recurring donation in any amount, like even like 4 cents. See, even like 4 cents. Aren't you annoyed by hearing that?
Yes. If you want Kristen to stop saying like, we have to continue having the funds to pay the editor to cut all the you knows and likes. I never say, you know, by the way.
You know,
because then everyone knows I'm from Minnesota if I say it. So I stamped it out years ago because I didn't want anyone to think I wasn't a Texan. Anyway.
So, yeah. Okay. So back to our regularly scheduled ad.
Back to our commercial. The third way to support the show would be to become an official sponsor of the podcast. If you are part of an organization or a business that would be a good fit and you think that our audience is an audience that you'd like to reach, we want to hear from you.
Especially if there's any kind of breast cancer advocacy involved. Advocacy is a part of our future plan, and it's really too early to share specifics, but we have noticed there are an awful lot of women whose mammograms are not catching their cancer. So if you have an ice cream company, that'd be cool. I love me some ice cream. You know, actually, okay, I just thought of this. We need to call my friend Dan. He lives here in San Diego and he has an ice cream truck. He does ice cream parties and he's moving to Austin with it. So natural fit.
I volunteer to vet the product.
I will volunteer you.
Would you do an in-kind donation?
Totally.
Okay, I'm all kidding aside.
That aside.
Very serious sponsorship request here. If this show has changed your life or helped someone that you care about and you think sponsoring the show is something that you'd like to do, we want to hear from you too. Again, go to the website, breastcancerstoriespodcast.com. You can download our media kit. You can send us a message and you can donate on PayPal directly there. You don't even need to sign up for a PayPal account. And from both of us, We appreciate anything and everything you can do to help us continue this effort. We love doing this show. It has changed both of our lives tremendously, and we really want to keep doing it.
And humbly, we found out that it's changing other people's lives as well. And I get teared up just talking about that. So thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for your support. Anything is helpful, and have a good day, y'all.
Today on Breast Cancer Stories, we've got a special guest. Kristen and I are both here as usual, but we're going to take a slight departure from what we usually do and bring you the things you need to know to be ready for radiation. I have no idea what those things are because I have not had radiation, but we have two really special people here to go through that, and they both have a little different perspective. So I'm going to introduce our guest, Jen Delvaux. Jen is a health and fitness coach and the founder of Team Empower Nation. In February of last year, 2021, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And although she had enjoyed researching new health hacks prior to her cancer diagnosis, she didn't realize she was doing that for herself too. And her mission now is to help others take back the power over their diagnosis, as well as to thrive during and after treatment. Jen and her husband host the podcast Not Today Cancer, where they openly talk about their own struggles. Her husband had been diagnosed with brain cancer in 2009. He has recovered. Yes, Jen?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's an ongoing thing.
It's never gone. We actually did learn that this year. Never over. And you love to interview people who've gone through breast cancer and thrived, and spoke to Kristen earlier for your own podcast. So
yeah,
use this opportunity to just say, don't miss that episode of Kristen over on Not Today Cancer. And so I want to ask you first, Jen, you wrote a book. What is the book about? And tell us about that.
First of all, I'm so happy to be here. It was so fun interviewing Kristen. She is amazing. Her story is incredible. So I'm excited that that's on my show as well. So because of my husband's diagnosis, he was diagnosed in 2009 with brain cancer. He has a grade 4 brain cancer. It's progressed over the years. He's had 3 brain surgeries, radiation, and chemo, 2 rounds of that. And he's really a walking miracle. And he's taught me so much. But it's interesting that for years, I've been this caretaker. And Darren and I actually at one point were like, let's write a book. And we kind of started it, but stopped. For some reason, we just didn't do anything with it, interestingly enough, because we weren't finished with that story yet, I think. So when I was diagnosed last year, first of all, I was like, there's no way. I remember when they called me back for a repeat mammogram, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. And yes, there is a way for husband and wife to both have cancer. And I'm a researcher. When something happens traumatic in my life or crazy, I dive into the research and I come up with a plan of how to get through that. And I was like, okay, all right. Cancer's in my life for a reason. Like God is really trying to tell me something. So I knew I wanted to do something. There was no question. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I'm not an author. I'm not a writer, but this was on my heart. And I really believe that in journaling, what you're going through is so therapeutic. So I just started writing. And then I was going to do just a little ebook about it, just helping women get through a diagnosis. And I was with my girlfriend and she was like, why don't you write a book? And I'm like, really? Me? Little me? Like imposter syndrome to the max. Like there's no way I can write a book. And I just dove in. And it's Not Today Cancer, a non-typical survival guide to thrive through a breast cancer diagnosis, not just survive. I don't call myself a survivor. I know a lot of people do. And whatever word you feel resonates with you, that's great. But for me, I didn't want to just survive. I wanted to thrive through it. So I wrote a book and it's for that girl. And I share a little bit of my story. And then it's almost like a guidebook of how to get through it. I've talked with other women. I have their stories in there. It's just, I'm so excited. And I can't wait for this book to launch and be available. I'm thinking it's like the beginning of April, it's going to be live.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Kudos to you for jumping out there and doing that. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, it just felt good. I mean, I feel like when you're helping others, it's just everything. It takes it off of you when you're helping somebody else.
Completely, completely. So I have to ask you real fast when you say that, like, I'll be answering a message or something like that, and I'll be crying. I'm like, is that the cancer talking or is it? And I think it's just like so much empathy too, because you know where they're going and you know how their head is rattling, how their heart is hurting.
Oh, when you were on my show, when you were talking about your doctor and what they said to you, and just when you were sitting there and as a nanny with the 2-year-old and just your story. Yes. I was holding back tears. Oh. I cry. Like, it's crazy, but I think it's so good because I used to always be that strong person and I would take everything in. Like, people would say, how do you get through it? This was before my diagnosis, when going through Alf Darren stuff. They're like, how? I don't understand. How do you stay so strong? I'm like, I just am. I power through it. But I wasn't releasing those emotions. I was really trying to stay strong. And then when my own diagnosis happened, oh, the floodgates opened. All the tears came out. And yes, I cry much easier on shows, on hearing from other women, like all the things.
You guys have 2 kids that you were managing cancer through too.
Yes.
You guys got to listen to the Not Today Cancer podcast, because it's just, it's beautiful and it's honest and it's raw. And so if you like our podcast, you're definitely going to love theirs.
Oh, I so appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Let's get to the topic of the day, which is radiation. And we're going to come back and do things you need for chemo and things you need for surgery. But today we're really just focused on radiation. And we'll make sure there's a list in the show notes of all the things that we cover today. So don't worry about writing them down. They're all going to be there for you. And I wonder if I could just suggest starting with just a quick background. Would each of you just quickly set the scene for what your first radiation appointment looked like?
The fear of this was unbelievable. And I remember just that first experience, because again, it's 2021. So it was still really the beginning of COVID. And so I went to those appointments alone. And I will tell you, one thing that helped is I got a book and I listened to that on the way there just to take my mind off what was going to happen. And then when I got there, I had a little locker. So I'd go to my locker, I put on my little robe and I went into little waiting room where you feel like you're going back for a massage, but you're definitely not. And I remember when they called my name and I was walking down the hallway, I was almost having like an out of body experience. I can't believe I'm about to do this. I had been to so many appointments with Darren and I'm like, I cannot believe that this is happening to me right now. Walk down the hallway, I go into my room and I look at my machine, and my machine has lashes, eyes, and a little bow. And I'm like, oh, she's like my girl, because I wear lashes. And I'm not kidding you, that did make me feel better. And I have a whole routine that I do. Somebody actually shared with me before I went, is I would pick somebody each day to pray for. So again, it took it off of me. And I would lay there as they're positioning me, because you know, Kristen, you just have to kind of lay their dead weight and they move you around. So as that was happening, I was praying for somebody. And then for me, my breast cancer is left-sided. So when you have left-sided breast cancer, it's right above your heart. So you have to get your heart out of the way of the radiation beam. So you have to hold your breath. And I recommend anybody that's going through it, work on that at home first. Time how long you can hold your breath, because then it's going to make you feel better and not so fearful when you're going through it. So I knew how many seconds I could hold my breath. And so I just held my breath. And when it was all finished, you know, the actual radiation itself takes probably 6 minutes, maybe 7. The positioning takes a little bit longer, maybe 10. And then you're out of there. And I got to my car and I was like, I am so freaking badass. Like, I cannot believe I just crushed that. So that was how I felt. How did you feel?
Wow. So you had the total spa radiation experience.
Yes.
Okay, 2 words that don't go together, spa and radiation, right? Ever. So mine was at the MD Anderson Cancer Center here, and the machines were so intimidating. I'll just say that first off, no lashes, no bows, no anything. And those who've been listening to the podcast know how out of my mind afraid I was. I was coming out of this place where literally, like, for just weeks, there had been nothing in my body poisoning it, or no, like, residual meds from surgery or anything like that. And so I was like a 3-year-old throwing a fit because I didn't get ice cream because I had to go. And
were you more scared for this than anything else?
I was.
Wow. Okay.
I was.
That's interesting because I think I would have been more scared for chemo.
I don't think I had time to get scared, Jen.
Oh, okay.
I was scared when I was there, but it was, I think my body was so tired also. Felt like I'd been in a boxing ring for 8 months before I got to radiation. And so to me, I had heard so much about the side effects, which there definitely are, of the hormone blockers, that I just saw it almost as like, okay, the rest of my life is going to be really hard. And the radiation signals the beginning of it. And so that's where I had to do a lot of work on myself and had to really dig deep into what the positives were about it. And, you know, like you said, you would pray for somebody every day. And on your way there, you would listen to a book. I would sit in the parking lot and there's an app, Jigsaw Puzzles. And I would sit there and do the jigsaw puzzle. And I would go in at the very last minute. And I would put it off. I was throwing like a temper tantrum, like inside myself about it. And so getting there, it was a lot of tears. It was a lot of every day that I would make the turn into the parking lot, I had to say out loud, turn the wheel. Because otherwise I would go straight and go home. And so it was very weird too, because I was set up to believe that radiation is the easy part of cancer treatment. Because everybody says, oh, it's a walk in the park if you've done chemo.
And that's kind of my feeling. That's interesting that, I mean, everybody's going to have their own experience. So it's interesting to hear that from you.
Yeah. Well, and I was alone too, like you, right? Basically, it was a similar experience, but mine was about 45 minutes long because I was told it was like going to be like 15 minutes, but mine was on the right. And it was so interesting to hear. I had no idea how they managed it on the left with your heart on that side. So the breathing, I think that's such a great tip. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But they did basically from the center of my chest where my diaphragm was all the way up to my neck, underneath my arm, and almost to my back. It was this huge quadrant. And they had very specific places they were going because my lymph nodes were so deep. They had to get it from all these different angles.
So was it in your lymph nodes, your cancer?
Oh, yeah. I had 11 lymph nodes taken out, and mm-hmm. one of those were cancerous, which is best case scenario for that.
Yeah. You know, what's so interesting is my lymph node, they removed 5 and one had cancer as well. But they said, because it was only one, they consider that negative. And that's what one of the reasons I didn't do chemo. And even though my oncotype score was a little bit higher.
Interesting.
Did you do the oncotype?
No, they never did the oncotype, mm-hmm. which I'm still curious. I asked about it afterwards and they said, well, you're done with chemo, so you kind of don't need it. And I'm surprised in all my digging, I hadn't asked about that before. So they did biopsies on lymph nodes beforehand, but they didn't know that I had lymph node involvement until my mastectomy.
Okay.
And I think they just, because of my staging and my age and the whole algorithm, I guess, they just gave it all to me. But the radiation was because of the lymph node involvement and also because of the skin involvement that I had. I think there's a correlation between the chest wall, cancer recurrence, and skin involvement. So even though they'd taken all the cancer off, they were doing the whole chest wall. And so it was the whole thing.
Wow.
And so there were several different positionings that they did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can understand why that would be hard. I think because mine was so quick that it made it doable.
Absolutely. The last week they did something called the boost, which was where they just did the scar. Mm-hmm. And that was quick because it was one area. So
yeah, I did the boost too.
Yeah. How many weeks did you do?
3.5 maybe, but just about 4 weeks.
And that doesn't sound like so much until you hear it's every damn day of the week.
Right.
And going to chemo is once a week or once every other week, depending on the chemo. Mm-hmm. But going every day was like going to lunch detention every single day.
Yeah.
And like knowing the bully was going to get you.
I know. I made sure to schedule mine first thing in the morning, I wanted to be the first one. I'm like, get me in first thing, because I will tell you this. I know this from experience with Darren, because his was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Sometimes you don't have an opportunity to really pick your time. But if you are first thing in the morning, most likely yours is not going to be postponed, or they're not dealing with a machine that broke down or somebody arriving late. So typically you get right in. And then I felt like I always had the whole day to like rest if I needed it. And when I would leave there, I have a home gym. I would make myself go down to the gym, and whether I laid there on the mat and did meditation for 30 minutes or yoga or stretching, or if I worked out, I did something. And then I gave myself grace the rest of the day if I just laid on the couch, because I truly thought, because you hear. And so for those that are listening, know that what my experience and Kristen's experiences are could be completely different than what yours is. Everybody is different. I've heard all across the board. I thought I was going to power through it because I'm in health and fitness, and but it knocked me down. Like, I was exhausted pretty quickly after. In fact, I don't know if you had this, but my left breast after that first day, the first day was like swollen and red and like angry.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, my right one was always angry because I had that big old expander in there. But yeah, so it's funny because I love that you said that every experience is different, because I was going at the end of the day. I was going on my way home from work. And I did that by design, because lucky enough to be in San Diego and lucky enough that my MD Anderson was in La Jolla. And so my route home, I took the coast. So for those of you who know Torrey Pines, you come around a corner and it's like the whole
most
world.
Breathtaking thing ever.
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 So I drove very, very slowly. And once in a while, if there was a parking spot I could see and I wasn't too tired, I would grab my dog Jack and we would go for a beach walk. That was
amazing.
Because they told me the best thing you can do is to exercise even 5-10 minutes afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because his fatigue is real. It's a thing. And so for those who are dealing with radiation, please don't be afraid by what I just said. I'm the anomaly with the 45 minute thing.
That you really are.
I really am.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's not like a normal thing, but I mean, it's good to hear, because who knows? Like, it's all a factor of where you are and what stage and all the things. So
yeah, absolutely. And I had a little barcode where I would put it underneath, like I was at the grocery register, and then I would put it underneath the little infrared thing and my name would come up and then I would go back.
No, but I have tattoos.
Where are yours?
I have one in the middle of my breast on either side, just so they'd line me up.
Where they would line. Yeah. So I have those too.
Yeah. Little dots.
I had them the same places as you, but they added a couple for fun. One was where my diaphragm was. And then one was also at the top of my right breast. It's really fascinating the way that they do it. I will say that I felt more like, and this is not for any lack of care that everybody had, it was the procedure. I felt more like a piece of meat, or like they were in there doing a very precise procedure.
It's an important job. It's an important job. And you are right. I know exactly what you're saying. Because I like to make light of things to make me feel more comfortable. And there's no small talk, because they're trying to position you exactly as you need to be. And there's like four of them working on you, talking about you as if you're not there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're just supposed to lay there literally dead weight. And it was funny, like, and you probably felt this too. Every single day, it's the exact same. They have to do it the same way. So I knew I'd be like, well, they don't have me positioned right yet. Like, they're going to have to mess around. You just know, but they don't want you to do anything.
No, they don't want you to help. They don't want you to do anything.
Yeah.
And then having your arms above your head.
You're right. Oh, holding onto the handles. How lovely is that? Just totally exposed to the world.
Totally exposed to the world from the waist up. Like, I am, you know?
Yes.
I know. That had something that was called a bolus day, that was every other day, where they put, it was like a piece of like rubber or plastic, and it had different depths. And I think what it did is it kind of magnified for them the radiation in certain spots. Kind of nice, because it was warmer.
That's the other thing. It's so dang cold. It's freezing.
Yeah.
So what do you wear to radiation?
I'll let you go, Jen, besides your bougie robe that I'm jealous of.
So I had, for me, it was the lumpectomy first, which was kind of underneath my left breast. So sometimes women want the support. They want their breasts held in. I was not wanting that. I wanted like loose fitting bras. So literally I just wore the Nux bra, but I had to take everything off and then put their little pink top on and then my robe. You know, the top that ties in the front.
Your modified crop top?
Yeah, my beautiful modified crop top in pink.
Just in general, do they give you like a hospital gown or some kind of gown to wear while you're there?
Yeah, so it's one of the hospital gowns, but it's just the top half. So it's just for your shirt.
So with me, they gave me, it was like the opposite of a crop top. It was two gowns they told you to put on. You would put on one with the front open and one with the back open to walk into the gown room. So I learned very quickly that I didn't have to wear a gown if I walked in with something I could take, like spaghetti straps or like a bralette, like you're talking about. I had the Anna Ono Leslie, and you could take it down and put the bra and your tank top down at your waist. So I could walk in there with my leggings on and just strip down by pushing all of that stuff down.
That's awesome.
Because I had expanders, I really didn't want any kind of anything on there. And like you're talking about with surgery, but there's another one that's called the Rora that's Anna Ono that is a front closure. So it had like the little hooks on the front. The key was being able to either pull it all the way down to your waist or to be able to open it all the way up. And I was just really, it was my mind game to not put the gown on, because every time I put the gown on, I was like, you're sick. You're having an MRI. You're having a this, you're having a that. And that was just where my mind went. And so again, it was like saying prayers. It was like doing, like I did mantras and prayers and would close my eyes. And just, that's all I could do to just leave myself while it was happening. And so not doing the gown was another one of the little mind games I played.
This is the first time we've mentioned Anna Ono by name on this episode anyway. Can you spell it and tell us just briefly what Anna Ono is?
Yes. And I always wonder if I'm pronouncing it right. It's A-N-A-O-N-O. And the founder, her first name is Dana. And then her last name starts with D-O-N-O. So I'm hoping that I'm saying it right. And Dana was diagnosed with breast cancer in her 20s and really hated the frumpy, uncomfortable things that you had to choose from when you had a mastectomy, when you had a lumpectomy, whatever. And so she designed a lingerie loungewear company that kind of fits. It's made for people who have any of those situations or none of those situations. And so I found it because my cousin sent me a robe for my surgery, my mastectomy, and it had a little belt where you could put the drains in. I treated myself recently to the lounge pants, and the lounge pants have a little pocket in your leggings for your key or whatever, but it's a little bit bigger for the drains. And the fabric on this stuff is to die for. Super soft.
Oh, it looks so nice. That's such a good thing to know about.
The other thing too is that in most states right now, I think they have a program. It's an insurance program. And so I was able to get six bras free with my insurance because I'd met my deductible and my out-of-pocket. Yeah. And I just had to have my surgeon write prescriptions for them. And I think this year I just reset because of the calendar year. And I think I pay $3.22.
There's a lot of variables involved of which bra is going to work for you and what kind of pressure you like. So, because I did buy a few in the beginning that just, even though they were cotton and they were really light fitting and they snapped in the front, it's still underneath my breast. So the one that I have is, it goes right to my rib cage, like to the bottom of my rib. So it's a little bit longer. It's like a half tank top.
Perfect.
That is looser fitting.
Everybody's different in what they want. Like now I need some compression. This isn't about radiation, but I have one on that is a front hook. The other thing is that once you have some radiation under your belt, I mean, I slept in like loose white t-shirts. I didn't want anything touching me. They had me put Aquaphor on at night, just slather it.
Yeah.
And so I had old white t-shirts that were super soft, that it was okay if it got kind of greasier.
Yeah, I do remember my breasts in the middle, what drove me crazy. So what I would do is I used several different ones. I'm like, I want to cover all bases. So it was the
calendula.
Calendula. I have the calendula homeopathic one, of course. And then I got My Girl's Skincare. So if you go to mygirlskincare.com, she's also somebody who went through radiation. So this was formulated specifically for radiation. And my appointments were in the morning, and you can't have anything on your skin prior to your radiation. But then immediately after, in my changing room, I would put ointment all over under my arm and the whole area. And then I would do that at least 3 more times throughout the day, sometimes 4. But the only thing that I noticed that was happening was I was getting little bumps between my breasts, and it was itching, like driving me crazy. And that's when they had me put some ointment on too. I think it was a prescription one for a little bit. I can't remember what it was.
Sylvadine?
Yeah, maybe that was it. But man, that is what drove me crazy, was the itching.
Oh, completely.
You had that too?
Yes, completely. And I had it in the center. I remember Eva was looking like, she's like, oh my gosh, that's like bad road rash.
Yeah, it looks like welts almost.
Yes. Yes. And so you knew that was probably blisters. So you sure didn't want to scratch it.
Right.
My radiation oncologist, she suggested something called Mioderm. And Mioderm made something that one of the Mioderms has lidocaine in it. And so I started using that when it would itch.
Oh, you know what else I used was aloe vera, real aloe vera. I think it was a little bit expensive, but I got it online because it was real. Like when it got really itchy, I did that too. And I think that really helped me with the healing part of it.
That's awesome. What did your radiation look like? Did it get really raw or anything?
Honestly, not too bad. I have olive skin and I tan pretty easily. I don't burn typically. So it definitely is darker and it looked bruised. I still have a spot when they went back in and did that boost. Mm-hmm. That's still there a little bit. Like I still see some discoloration, and gosh, it's been almost a year and my breast looks totally different on that side.
Isn't it weird? It's oh my so gosh. Weird.
This one, I'm like, hi, this one, the nipple goes downward. It's like, you know, I don't even know what it's doing. This one's normal.
Yeah. That was the reason I had that big old expander on the one side. It was like literally a D cup on one side and like maybe a B. And then by the time I had my exchange surgery, the left one was way down, like 2 inches down. And because of the radiation, the right side had pulled up and was very, very tight. That's what my plastic surgeon was telling me.
The one that you had radiated pulled up?
Yep.
So did mine. So my left breast is so much higher than my right.
It's the radiation.
Why?
It has to do with what the radiation does to the skin. So my expanders were over the pec muscle, and I was surprised by that. But when we did our interview with Dr. Pacella, he said, if I would have put it underneath your pec muscle, it would have been so much more painful because the radiation forces that to contract. And so it was 30 sessions, 25 and 5 boosts. Wow. And it was that last week or two that my skin continued to bake to where I wasn't really pro a lot of pain medicine, but they gave me the same pain medicine they did after I had my mastectomy.
Wow. Okay.
Because I could not sleep. If I was to go on my side, any movement of the skin, I was in tears.
Oh my gosh.
And so what I did is I did very similar to you. After the treatment, I would put on the Mioderm, and it's similar to the calendula. They had me take a picture when they drew on me for the test thing so that I could see where to go with all of the lotion. Did they have you do any kind of skin prep before you went to radiation? Because I've heard a lot of people who are like, they prepare their skin with Mioderm or like Aquaphor or something like beforehand. I don't know if that helps or not.
They didn't. Somebody had suggested, and it was like every single day taking like 6 tea bags and you brew it and you cool it. And then you put actual tea bags, I think, on your breast. I never did it, but yeah. I did hear that that works too.
Okay. you were talking about like the mind things, the spiritual things to go through it and to get through it. And I continued using the all of the stuff until all the burns and stuff were gone, didn't you? Like all the creams and stuff?
Oh yeah, for a long time, especially the aloe vera. They were with me for a while, but definitely mindset and prayer and meditation and just getting outside when you can and like doing things for yourself and being okay with saying no, taking things off your plate. I remember I would be invited to like something during radiation, you know, when it was a couple of weeks away, I was like, yeah, great. I'd love to. And I would feel so bad, but you have to do what is right for you. And it was so sweet. This girl said to me, Jen, you're healing right now. There's going to be plenty of time for that. You focus on just taking care of you. Do not worry. Like you and I talked about earlier, you and I don't like to be, we're caretakers. Right. We like to help people. We like to lift people up. And being that sick person, I always thought like, I don't want to be that, but you also got to give yourself grace and take some things off your plate.
Completely. I'm so glad you said that. I know that the last thing that I wanted to do was to find a parking spot and get out and walk and wrangle like cute little dog up and down while he wanted to chat with everybody on the beach. But it's like, once you start your workout, you feel good. I had every reason to not. And doing it really did save me. Your mindset is everything. And when it's not good, your self-talk and your prayer and your soul work is the only way that I can really say it. And everybody has their different perception of their spirituality and their God and all of that. And you have to find yours. And you have to really, even if it's distracting yourself with a stupid jigsaw puzzle for 10 minutes beforehand, you know, I love you sitting there deciding that you're going to say a prayer for someone.
Another little add-on to that is tell that person, because then they're thinking about you when you're going, say, you know, today, hey, I pick a person each day. You're my person.
I love it.
Just so you know, I'll be saying a prayer for you during my radiation. And then they're like, ooh, I'll pray for her too while she's, you know what I mean? It's just right. Like, it's powerful and it takes it off of you.
What you said sparked something in me. When you're having a hard time thinking of someone else, whether it's a gratitude list or just texting and saying, I'm thinking of you, I love you, or just getting out of yourself, it's amazing what it does for you and your heart and your mindset and to get you through that next 10 minutes. I almost sound like I'm being selfish with my gratitude and my wishes for other people, but it really does help you to get out of yourself. And especially being a caretaker, that's our go-to, right? Is to try to figure something out for somebody else. You know, not to be a downer. I remember being in that gown room and there was this lady who was probably 20 years older than me. And she'd say, you know, what you here for kind of thing, you know? And I'd say breast cancer. Oh yeah. I went through that 24 years ago and I'm here because I have metastasis in my spine. So they're just giving me a couple shots. And I'm like, okay. So I know you're trying to relate to me and you're trying to have empathy, but I just got in here and walked in this room. And so those people who are going through this stuff realize people don't mean anything by that. They're trying to identify with you. That's tough stuff right there.
Yeah. I've heard that many times and I'm big on social media. And so I had to make sure to tell people because people want to relate. They want to say, hey, I know what you're going through because of whatever. And I'm like, listen, no poor Jenny, no sadness. Don't tell me about your aunt or cousin or best friend that died of this. Only positivity, please.
Totally.
And I had to say that. And sometimes people would forget. Mm-hmm. And I would still get messages like that. And I feel like you do have to protect your mind. The things that we have to do, the medications that we have to take, the side effects from all the things are hard. And it's hard to look at. And I don't think you always need to know them all. I don't look at everything. And the way you look at your drugs and what you're doing, the chemo and the radiation is important too. Like, the other thing, instead of thinking about the radiation as possibly hurting me and hurting my other organs. I would pray that God's hands were on me, protecting me. Then I would literally have the cancer cells popping as that radiation treatment was going. So I was imagining the cancer cells popping, any that were left over.
I love that. I was imagining if that's what it was doing to my skin, what must it be doing to these little cancer cells?
Yes.
If somebody comes up to you and says, I'm about to start radiation, what do I need to know? What is the one thing that you would tell them?
Wow. So many things, but I'm trying to think of that one. I really think the most important thing is your mindset and protecting your mind mm-hmm. and praying and believing. I mean, there's all the other things that you're going to learn about from the doctors and the skincare and the ointments and the like all that we've talked about so far in the show. But again, I think going back to protecting your mind and believing what you're doing is getting rid of this.
I would agree. I would say also treat yourself like a princess through this in any and every way and take help also. 200% on everything you just said, Jenny. But I think just protecting yourself and letting yourself be who you are and don't look at it as weeks. Look at it as it's Monday, it's Tuesday. Just chunk it.
Totally agree. Day by day, minute by minute.
Completely. And it will pass. I hated it when people said, oh, you're going to get through this. Well, you're not going through it. And as somebody who's been through it, I can say it will pass, but it doesn't feel like it in the moment. And reach out to those people and to those resources. We're all here and we've all been through it. But the biggest thing is treat yourself like a princess in every way, shape, and form. And that means taking care of your heart and your mind and your spirituality and your God.
Yeah, Kristen, that's so good. I love that so much.
I've been practicing. Like, I always try to come up with a system for everything. What should my thing be if somebody's going through something hard, no matter what it is? And I want to tell you guys what it is and see if it works. I'm so sorry that's happening to you. Can I bring you a meal? Does that work for anything and everything?
Are you meaning like how somebody can help somebody else?
Yeah, I think just, you know, a lot of our audience is people who care about somebody who's going through cancer. And I really obsess about what to say. And then we sort of also kind of laugh about these things that everybody says. And I don't want to just walk away without offering some kind of actionable, like something useful.
I'll tell you with my personality, if anybody asked me if they could bring me food, I would immediately say no. But my family and friends know me all too well, and they just did it. So of course, find out the person's, sometimes people change their nutrition after going through a diagnosis, or there's certain dietary things. So find out before you do that. But it's usually for the family as well, just to help in that way. So I recommend, I think the most important thing is just saying, I'm so sorry you're going through this, and I love you, and I'm here to listen. And without advice.
Absolutely.
People want to give you advice, and they don't need to. We don't need advice unless we ask for it. But it's just to like talk through it. And we don't need you to give us an answer. And I think just helping, because I know for me too, if I ask somebody, what can I do? How can I help? I'm good. Most people will say that. So just figuring out something to do without even asking. Just saying, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm here. And I think checking in too, like people forget, they'll say one thing and then they kind of go, MIA, well, I checked in with her. And if it's a dear friend, keep checking in.
Set a reminder on your phone.
Like, yeah, seriously. Yes.
My mom checks in with me at the same time every week. That's how
cute is that? Well, Eva, you did the perfect thing and didn't even know it. It was after my surgery. You just sent comfort groceries. I mean, it was healthy things. It was fruits. It was vegetables. It was a quiche.
Not that healthy, Kristen.
Well, you sent some fruits and vegetables, but it was like a pot pie. I had people helping me after my surgery. I didn't have my family there, but I had people helping me. And so same, they were like, oh, wow, we can just pop this in the toaster oven. It'll be great. And so I would say when people ask me what they can do, that gives me another thing to think about. And so just doing something, and I know flowers are so cliche, but I never get tired of flowers.
Oh, it was great.
And like Jen said, just saying, I love you and I'm here and I so don't get what you're going through, but I am here no matter what you need, 24/7, call me anytime, just to cry. Because I always think nobody wants to hear from me unless things are going well. And having that permission is really important. And knowing that you're there unconditionally is super important.
Thank you, Jen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You both. This has been great. Jen, for our audience, would you just give us the rundown on where we can find you?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun. I loved having Kristen on my show. We definitely have to do this again sometime. My Instagram is my name, Jen Delvo. That's where I mostly hang out. I have a website too, jendelvo.com. And then I have my book launching hopefully soon. I don't know when this is going to air, but maybe even by the time this is aired and it will be in the show notes, but it's soon. And that is Not Today Cancer.
Can't wait.
It's been so much fun. I love spending the morning with you.
I know. So fun.
Thanks for listening to Breast Cancer Stories. Our mission is to help women get through the shock of breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. If you or someone you know is dealing with breast cancer, you know how hard it is and how many unpleasant surprises there are. We are humbled by how many of you have written to us to share how much this podcast has helped. If you believe in what we are doing and you have the means to support the show, help us keep it going with a one-time or recurring donation by going to breastcancerstoriespodcast.com/donate. This link is also in your show notes. We appreciate anything and everything you can do to help us continue this effort to help other women who may not have anywhere else to turn. If you're facing a breast cancer diagnosis and want to tell your story on the podcast, or just want to reach out and send us a message, send an email to hello@theaxis.io. Follow us on Instagram at Breast Cancer Stories Podcast. I'm Eva Shea, your host and executive producer. Production support comes from Mary Ellen Clarkson, and our engineer is Daniel Cruiser. Breast Cancer Stories is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.